Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. We bring on a variety of, I would say, cool guests. What do you guys think? Cool or not cool?
Pretty cool.
Smart?
not us.
You know, oftentimes smart. Again, what's healthy versus not healthy in those topics? Healthcare, community, business, and life. Thank you to our show sponsors, 212 Benefits. If you guys have questions about employee benefits or insurance, I'm pretty sure they can help you out. And of course, Hi Mom, I Love You. I love shout outs, by the way. You better give shout outs this time. Now, like I said, one of my favorite things is to butcher the intro. Lenny Schoenfeld, did I say that right?
You did not butcher that.
We have known each other for 22, 23 years.
I mean, you're aging us, but yes.
A long time, maybe longer.
Been a minute.
Went to college together at UNF. Let me get a swoop. There's a swoop.
Swoop.
Healthcare consultant, does a variety of things, has worked in healthcare for a long time. Also, again, Dean Rottenhaus. Did I say it?
That's perfect.
Is that good?
That'll work. Yeah.
German last name, can't do it. You are a doctor in chiropractic, chief clinical officer with Cure Health, who also happens to have a long list of experience in executive level in information technology experience.
That is correct.
Yeah. An IT guy.
Yep.
And again, I am not an IT guy. I love healthcare. You guys both have checked a lot of boxes in healthcare. Lenny, welcome. I think we ran into each other at Health Chiefs.
That's right?
So we went Health Chiefs, which is a great organization. Nicole Bradbury, Mike Schumer set it up. Cool event, right?
Yeah, we had a great time. That's the second time I'd been there.
You've been before.
Yeah, I'd been there a few years before that, but Nicole's a great friend of mine, and she invited us back. I wanted Lenny to go, and had a great time. Met a lot of great people.
Let's start there briefly, because I like to give shout-outs, too. What is Health Chiefs? How do you know Nicole? And then I want to talk about Cure Health, your experience, Lenny's experience. Let's give a free plug for Health Chiefs.
Sure. So Nicole, I've known Nicole quite a few years. Met her I was doing IT consulting for a company, and she was in that. She's been in that world for a long time, and so met her, became friends with her, had lunch with her, and so on and so forth. Just became good friends with her, and so she has invited me to Health Chiefs. And Health Chiefs is a forum get together. You know, we had food and drinks and so on, but it's really executives from around the Northeast Florida, Southeast Georgia area, with hospitals and health IT companies, healthcare companies, and so on. So we get together and once a year and just communicate with each other and trade.
What are you working on? Brainstorm,
yeah, absolutely.
Chatter. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep.
Well, and the thing that I found very interesting is a lot of those networking events are about just kind of business oriented. And
sell. Here's
exactly.
What I do.
Yeah. A bunch of elevator pitches, right? Yep. And this seemed more organic. You know, like you said, just trading ideas.
I walked in and saw Lenny in about a while. I was like, yo, what's up?
Yeah, what's he doing
here? Chest bump.
We did it. Mind you, there's suits in there. They come out CEOs of hospitals. Which, again, I think that's a testament to what it is. Yes, people naturally talk about what they're doing, what they're working on, but it's a cool environment to me.
That's very casual.
And it's invite only.
Yeah.
That's the
other thing.
It's
invite only.
You cannot just show up there. You got to be invited.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a good shout out for Health Chiefs, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so who wants to go first? I'm going to go with you.
All right, sure.
So Dean is way smarter than I am, the chief clinical officer with Cure Health, right?
You don't know me that well.
Clearly not. We'll get to know each other in about 48 minutes here. Healthcare experience, doctor in chiropractic. You opened a practice. We've got to start with the story of why you got roped into IT.
Absolutely, yeah. So practiced in Cincinnati for 21 years. And as Eric, you were saying, I'm a chiropractor. I have private practice. And in 2001, I bought my own property and practice and was moving 26 boxes of files. Again, this is 2001. So this is, you know, right at the advent of the internet and so on. It's not real popular. It's certainly not popular in healthcare. And so moving all those boxes, and I'm thinking there's got to be an easier way. Instead,
how big of boxes, by the way?
They were the, you know, the legal, whatever you call those, banker's boxes.
That's a lot. You're carrying
26
boxes.
Yes, into my new location to stack them on the shelves, just like, you know, you used to see and still see in some offices. Mm. And I was like, there's got to be an easier way to do this. And so I had a couple of patients who were IT guys. And that's back in the Ethernet, you know, you have the connections in your office and so on. And they said, I could probably build you one for maybe $100,000, just something that would be a documentation system. So I started down that road and, we released, in 2006, the first web-based, truly web-based documentation system in chiropractic, but then it expanded to, you know, physical therapy, orthopedics, pain management. But it was the first truly web-based where you had a username and password actually logged in. We had it offsite. It wasn't a server, you know, on-site server type of situation. And that was 2006. So got into that IT space, was in, you know, developing every page, in on the development of every page of that, that software. The software's still around. Sold it in 2013, but that's how I got into the space.
What's it called? Can you share?
Sure. It's called Medic Fusion.
Medic Fusion.
MedicFusion. Medic Fusion, yeah. So it's still around. You can look it up. Sold that company and stayed, basically retired from practice, moved to Florida, been here since 2008, and have been in the consulting roles. That's how Lenny and I met. I was in a consulting role, was doing IT consulting for a while with some companies, and then we met during COVID in the lab space.
So, the Armageddon.
Yeah. It all right, comes from.
Dean, I'm gonna pause that, go back
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, sure.
Lenny, what did you study at UNF?
I was business management.
Let's Trey, what did you study?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, let's go.
Justin, what did you study at Flagler?
Communications.
Okay, that makes sense.
Good call.
That does.
So business management, how'd you end up in healthcare?
Really, so you plugged me, you gave me a lot of credit that I've been in the industry for a long time. I have not. I'm about 4.5 years in. So started in the lab space.
Yeah, but that's all, that's the last 4 years of COVID, yeah, that like multiplies by 10.
So
you've been in it for 40 years. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so actually a cool story. So COVID hits, CDC recommends PCR testing for COVID tests, right?
Yep.
That's the gold standard. So at the same time, PGA Tour was halting all pro golfers. So these guys were coming off the road. They've got a specific skill set, right? So we ended up training and you know, probably heard some of this genesis because I was with some of the RevMed guys. Shout out.
Can we shout out to them?
Yeah. So Luke McCann's great.
Corn Ferry guys pulling them off.
All these
Luke,
guys.
Scott.
So for my birthday, April 17th, right after, you know, the world shuts down, Jared Wolf, PGA Tour golfer, gets us out. We're playing stadium for my birthday. And Luke looks at me and he's like, hey, man, I know we've been talking about medical and you're interested in, he's like, if you're ever going to do it, now's the time. He's like, I got all these knuckleheads going on the road. He's like, at some point, I'm going to need somebody to come clean this mess up.
These are Corn Ferry golfers.
Say, that's
right?
Not a shout out to those pro golfers.
Oh, well,
I love those guys. They're great. Don't get me wrong.
But if you golf for 10 years, then you go into sales and business development,
that's
it's
right.
Different.
Regimented guys that are used to crafting a plan and attacking it, right? And they've all got, you know, some level of wherewithal, you know, some more than others.
More than me, that's for sure.
But yeah, so just went on the road, learned the industry pretty quickly, got elbows deep in it, realized that I really enjoyed it, enjoyed interacting with the clinicians, and just started diving in about, 2022. We found some interesting opportunities and, you know, developed a great amount of respect for Dean. He's a hustler, go-getter. He's got a tremendous network and, we really hit it off. So we decided, hey, let's break away and start doing our own
Where'd
thing.
Where'd y'all meet at?
With RevMed. We met.
That was through RevMed.
Yeah. We were on the road.
I love the RevMed guys.
Oh, yeah.
RevMed. Like what they're doing is pretty cool.
Yeah. Good people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So y'all met randomly, right? Bouncing around. We'll get to Cure Health. I promise. IT related. I do have to ask, who golfs better between the two of you? Like, if you guys play straight up, no handicap, who's winning?
That's not even close.
That's you?
Oh, my. He's a +3.
Okay. Dude, I knew was a gamer, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I heard you were a golfer, too. Are you still +3?
I am.
Gosh. Not healthy, dude.
No.
Or healthy.
Well, not healthy for you.
It's fun to. It's fun.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
If you're in a group with him, it's good. If you're on the same team, it's good. It's very healthy.
Plays a lot of free golf.
I'm a scramble pro.
I get all those calls. Justin's wife is a heck of a golfer. Her, right?
Yeah, she's a assistant head pro at TPC.
Oh, nice.
Is she really?
Yeah. Wow. Very cool. Son of the Boros is.
Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jennifer spanked my butt in individual play in Underwood Cup last year.
We went and played the Valley for Mother's Day. Only 9 holes, and we were just doing it as like a scramble to go fast because we had a kid, and I think we used one of my shots.
I love it.
Like, all right, and I didn't let her hear the end of it because Quinn was like distracting her or something, and I was like, we used my putt, I sunk it. You've used every other one of mine.
3 feet, what do you want?
That's a gimme, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We got to go back to golf. It's going to come up because you guys are golfers. I'm suddenly hooked and addicted. I think Trey is too.
It's an amazing sport.
Cure Health, Q-U-R Health, right?
Yep.
What's the website?
Curehealth.com, Q-U-R-H-E-A-L-T-H.com.
I love wordplay too, right? So you hear Cure Health, you think C-U-R-E, it's Q-U-R Health.
Q-U-R Health, yep.
This is, I like to pull stuff from it, and your version's way better than mine. A conversational AI company assisting with the delivery of personalized care at scale. That's fun. That's a lot of fun words there.
That's right.
It's a great story.
Let's hear it, man.
Another good story. So the founder of Cure Health is Ravi Kunduru, Indian guy. He's super, super nice guy. Shout out to him. He may not hear this because he lives in Austin, Texas.
We'll send him a copy.
Send him a copy.
Ravi, feel free to sponsor the show, by the way. We'll talk about you. Shout
out. So Ravi actually 15, 16 years ago founded a company called Ventech, V-E-N-T-E-C-H. And Ventech became the exclusive data aggregator for CMS, which is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So all the numbers, that patient numbers for every healthcare system in the United States, every dialysis center, anything that dealt with patient information went through his company exclusively for 15, 16 years.
Let me pause that for a second. So CMS, right?
Yes.
That is... I don't know how to explain it. The biggest possible, right?
You got United, Cigna, Aetna, all of them.
CMS, Medicare specifically. So you're saying, say it again. So everyone that was somehow using every healthcare system was going through
his company.
That's right. Everybody, the quality payment system. So anybody who's participating in quality payment metrics was being aggregated by an entity, anonymized.
Is he still working or is he on a boat?
I bet you a guy like that works. He's probably obsessed.
He's a serial entrepreneur. And so to kind of wrap that story a little bit, COVID, let's go back to COVID, obviously. So his parents are still in India. Actually, he's in India right now, flying back this weekend. He went to India because he wanted to be with his parents. He's got a family. He lived in Columbus, Ohio at the time. But his family, his parents were in India and got COVID. And he, as everybody here, not so much in Florida, thank God, but as everybody in the United States, you couldn't interact with him. You had to look at him through a window, whatever, stupid stuff. And so he was in India, couldn't interact with them, and literally on a napkin, not a bar napkin, he doesn't drink anything like that, but just literally on a napkin, he outlined Cure Health and being able to communicate with your loved ones. And, you know, obviously he had the funds to be able to do it. And we right now have, you know, 40 developers in India working full time. We are leading AI in you know, voice enabled AI in healthcare. No doubt about it.
Can either one of you, again, we talk about AI. Justin made an AI song before we started, by the way.
Why didn't that play?
I just heard it like
brand new. Hasn't been approved yet.
We got to work on the hook.
Are either of you competent to talk about AI in this space or no? Because everybody's so AI, artificial intelligence.
I think
looking
we both
at the website,
are.
Like it's crazy. So let's Cure Health specifically. How is AI being used? Right. Case management was a big one in the home.
Case management. And so realistically, you know, we're trying to extend care back to the home. So it's all around a virtual care model. So when you talk about AI in this instance, it is voice enabled. So it is large language models that allow the AI virtual assistant who can talk to you. There's even voice cloning, different kind of things.
There's a good story on that. So the name of the voice assistant is Sheila, S-H-E-E-L-A. Robbie's wife's name is Sheila. He named it after his wife.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's okay. It's a good little story. So.
Yeah. So if you think about it as in, you know, there's a lot that can be gleaned conversationally, and especially when you're dealing with a patient that may be having some issues, maybe a little toward the older end of the spectrum. What's the easiest form of communication? Just to talk to them, right? And so we can implement regimens that do reminders, that a lot of the perfunctory conversation points, touch points with these patients, we can operationalize. And so whereas you've got a care manager, a case manager who might be having to make 100 calls in a day to try and touch all these different patients just to do basic reminders, hey, are you following your discharge plans? Are you following your care plan? We can now say, hey, click of a button, and it's going to deploy across all those patients. So it's really a workforce extender. There's a lot of insights that can be gleaned from that. We can do different surveys with the patients, wellness surveys, those kind of things. So really it's a Lego box kind of environment where
I love Legos.
The ultimate interface is we're trying to establish that communication path with the patient. So if we can get the patient to engage with Sheila, we can get them on a regular cadence of interactions, then now we've got a conduit back to that patient that's always on, with the end goal really being, hey, if you've got a problem, you know how to get in touch with somebody immediately.
It's 24/7. So
around the clock.
And it's customized specifically for the patient and their condition. So if a patient has congestive heart failure, if they've got COPD, they can interact with Sheila around their condition. Now, if somebody says, you know, what's the weather like outside? Sheila's not going to answer that. It's designed specifically for this.
Yes. CHF patient, congestive heart failure.
Yes.
Diabetic patient.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. So I got a three-part question here. One, do you two know what a case manager is?
Someone that manages your case.
Yeah.
These guys are smart. You totally are smart.
I'm like, clinically, right, we never know who's going to hear this. But so if you go to the hospital or you're admitted or you go to the ER, any scenario, you're in a home health care, skilled nursing facility, you have someone that manages your case, spot on. What's going on, the complexities, what doctor do you need to see, what's your comorbidities? You need someone to manage all that because it's complicated. That's what a case manager is. So for the patient, is it their family or them communicating with Sheila?
So it's the patient that's going to be communicating with Sheila directly, but then there's also family and kind of caregiver access. So it's all app-based.
It's an app.
So anybody CNAs, with home health aides, doctors, nurses.
There's provider sides to the software. There's the actual patient side of the software. And then there's also the family and the caregiver side of the software where they can check vitals if we've got it tied to a vital device. Oh, you know,
remote monitoring.
They can review documentation. You know, there's educational videos.
So is Sheila like programmed with keywords that if like someone or signal, like you're like, oh, this patient actually is in a serious case, or this person's just kind of crazy and calling 30 times a day? Because I'm sure with older people you're dealing with that.
Hey man, so that's ageism, dude. Don't say that. It's just the truth. I know that.
You'd be surprised.
We know.
so she is like built in with those kind of like, okay, this patient's actually a red flag patient.
And really that can be derived on a client by client base, on a disease case, a disease specific case. There's just different escalation points that we can put in the language that we get, the readings that we get. It all comes back to a dashboard, so we can passively monitor that, or we can actively get alerts that are pushed back to us to where now we can reach out to the patient.
Gotcha. Cool.
So, and also Cure Health is device agnostic, really. And I'll do a little case in point. My parents live in Kansas, small town in Kansas. My dad's going to be 88 years old this year. He has a flip phone. My mom has an iPhone, a smartphone. Every morning, I could look it up right now. I'm one of the care managers on their care.
You're tied to it.
I'm tied to it. Okay. I can see what their blood pressure reading was this morning, whatever we set them up on.
So would it like say they were taking meds, they had to take it at 10 a.m. in the morning and they didn't, it would like flag
paying attention.
This is the future of healthcare, right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about the money side of it when it happens there.
Well, go back to, and we were meeting with a local healthcare system today, a big one. But the aging population, we all know it. The population is aging just
10,000 people a day turn
to Medicare. Yeah.
65. Right. 10,000 people a day in the United States turn 65.
Mm. So the aging population. And Lenny alluded to it earlier. People don't want to get old in a nursing home or in a hospital. They want to age at home. And so having a care extender like Cure Health, where we can have the devices like a blood pressure cuff or a scale or a glucometer for diabetes or a pulse ox for somebody with COPD them at all times. Go ahead.
Do you guys know what a glucometer is or no?
Glucose.
Mm-hmm. You check your blood sugar.
Do you know what a pulse ox is?
No. No. Like the thing you put on your finger that tells your oxygen saturation.
Yeah, that's
oxygen
saturation.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love it.
So, yeah, so you know they want to age at home, and so being able to have a 24/7 access to Cure Health, and then to an extended, you know, whether it be a somebody clinical, a medical assistant, or an RN, or an LPN, or a nurse practitioner, and even MD or DO, could be, you know, that gives them comfort.
So last kind of question here. I like to challenge stuff because I think about this all the time. I play in all these playgrounds in some capacity. The patients, right, we'll say end user, how do they deal with the technology, right?
That's a great question. I think my
parents are between 65 and 70. I just lost all three of my grandparents like in the last couple of years. Oh, they were too old to deal with it, right? Mm-hmm. How do they deal with this technology?
I think the biggest thing is trying to meet the patient where they're at. One, finding them in a place of need. And so you've got a moment in time where they've got some kind of significant health-related event that's going to get their attention and want to them to be able to engage in something like this. But two, using a form factor that is appropriate for the patient. And so if there's all kinds of spectrum of how tech-enabled some of these people are, right? Most of them have a smartphone at this point, or quite a few of them. Most of them have Wi-Fi. We can go from like a dedicated MDM tablet that's locked down for everything but the app. And so that's going to be their beacon. It can sit out, be always on. We can go to, you know, the cell phone where it's an app based, so it's always on them. They can interact through the app. Little bit of a learning curve, obviously, in some of these things. So we have to walk them through it. And we can go all the way down to, hey, we've got a PERS device. So just a little pendant hanging around your neck that's a two-way communicator. And we can even have Sheila dial in and talk to them through that.
I love this stuff. And this is the future, right? And I talked about my grandparents, my parents, like, we're going to be old one day.
Yeah,
that's right. All of us are going to be old one day. And like, that is the future. I hate when like a segment ends. We're in it. We'll bring it back to that. We got to wrap it up for this commercial break. Come back. Healthy or not healthy? I love that. More tech stuff, more fun. But really, I think talk trash about golf. Trey, what do you think?
I want to also ask you guys about regulations.
Oh, yeah, we'll hit that. That's all. Lenny Schoenfeld.
Yes.
I'm trying to go the German route.
German,
right?
There you go. There,
and
German.
Dean,
right.
Can you say his last name? Rottenhouse.
Oh, boy.
I love it, man. Both you guys hanging out, living in healthcare. We got some gifts for you guys, too, but with Cure Health specifically, some other stories. That's what the health just happened. Welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. Again, where we talk about, I think, some cool stuff. I don't know if you guys agree or not. It doesn't matter, but you're listening. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. If you missed the first half, good news. You can catch the second half on your favorite podcast platform under What the Health Just Happened. Today's guest, Lenny Schoenfeld. That's my German impression. I don't know if you're German or not. How do we say his last name? Give it to me.
Rottenhouse.
I love it. You're getting better.
I impressed myself.
Representing Cure Health a little bit, other healthcare entrepreneur representing multiple industries, not industries, but companies. Lenny, college buddy. I told you guys, we like to play What the Health Just Happened, right?
Yeah.
But before we do that, I like free plugs. We just got these hats in, and I'm going to hold it up to that camera. This is the first person I've given it to besides Trey and Justin over there. So there's the first hats we give out.
All right, man. I'm all about some swag.
We're not healthy. You don't have to wear the hat.
Okay.
If you're not hat guys, give them back.
I'll definitely rock that.
We'll happily take them back.
It's a good looking lid.
We love giving gifts, right? I got another one at the end of it, but keep those if you want. We think they're cool. Healthy or not healthy? You guys want to fire one off or you want me to start?
You let it rip.
I like this one. Remote patient monitoring.
Healthy.
Mm-hmm. Healthy.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. It's healthy or not healthy, Dean's golf swing?
Not healthy.
Oh.
Dang.
Ouch.
Trey, healthy or not healthy, my golf swing?
The day I played with you, pretty solid.
Look at that.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Healthy or not healthy, the American healthcare system.
Not healthy.
Broken.
Broken?
Yeah.
I'd say not healthy. Yeah. Okay. Healthy or not healthy, the first half of this show.
Healthy.
Very healthy, yeah. Loved it.
Okay. You got one?
Healthy or not healthy, getting old at home.
Healthy.
Healthy. That's the trend.
I'm going to disagree with it. That's a good transition, right? So we'd like to ask a question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Healthy or not healthy, what do you say?
Getting old at home.
Getting old at home. I would say if it goes well, that's healthy. For the last 20, 30 years, it was not healthy. Mm. What did you have access to? What was available? Mm. What was the support system? That's a good pivot. That's a great question. Yeah. How do you pivot into what you guys are doing?
So CMS just, and this is just in 2025, they've approved new coding that's going to allow reimbursement for aging at home, hospital at home.
Stop.
Yeah. So it's happening where
that's great.
You know, the hospital bed, the monitor, some of that stuff is going to be able to be put into the home and reimbursed, and then you know providers can check in with them in the home instead of in a hospital setting.
So Justin's question: aging in home is healthy. For years, it was not for a variety of reasons. How is it funded? Hospital bed.
Exactly.
Monitor systems. Home health care, which is the most underrated thing in the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Example, Grandma Jane, Grandpa Bill. Those are my grandparents. I use their names all the time. I had a home health care company. You have to pay out of pocket for even a CNA and home health aide to step into the door. Medicare will cover 3 to 5 visits per week, but that's only post-discharge based off of a certain scenario. It's changing. So yes. You're saying that CMS just passed something to fund in-home products?
Yeah, hospital at home, you know, so that you can kind of transition.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Goes into effect January 2025. So
that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. See, I don't track that stuff anymore. Yeah. I'm in a different world.
It's in our space, and we know a lot about it.
How does Cure Health tie into that?
So hospital at home is, you know, having Sheila, that virtual assistant, in the home with the patient, whether it be on their TV monitor or whether it be on a tablet or whether it be on their smartphone, and hooked up to, we talked about healthy or not healthy, the remote patient monitoring, hooked up to a device. So there you go, healthy. Yeah, the blood pressure cuff or whatever it may be, and constant monitoring of the patient so the patient can feel safe at home with their condition and not have to be surrounded by nurses and doctors and whatever.
That's right. Well, and we're trying to remove that window of time, right? What happens with time when you've got an acute issue, exacerbation? And so the quicker we can point them to the appropriate level of care, get them handled, the less it's going to cost the system, the healthier the patient's going to come out of the back end of it.
Repeat offenders, right? So I want to talk about star ratings, by the way. We talked about that earlier. So Grandma Jane, Grandpa Bill, 10 years ago, healthy for their age. They go in for chest pain. They come out clear. They go home, discharge, follow this routine. If you get readmitted to a hospital or even like a skilled nursing facility, they get dinged.
Yeah, within a certain amount of time.
They get hurt.
Yeah, the hospital does. They lose reimbursement.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's real money. I mean, it matters,
but it's not just about the money, which it kind of is. It's better for the patient too.
Oh, 100%.
What happened in that gap? That's what I think about remote monitoring, in home care is changing stuff. Keep them home where they're comfortable and avoid readmissions.
That's right.
Star ratings. We had talked about that. So CMS, what are star ratings? What does it mean?
So star ratings are, and we go back to Ventech. That parent company, that those quality measures. So hospitals are rated on certain parameters, and they've got to meet those parameters. Otherwise, they get dinged. And so they have a star rating, 1, 2, 3, 4 stars. The lower the stars, the less reimbursement that they get. So that's a simple way to put it.
Trey, would you give Lenny 1, 2, 3, or 4 stars?
For what?
Anything, I don't know. Just look at him.
For the Sawgrass shirt, we'll go 4 stars.
There we go.
What's he got on there? I don't know. We're going back to golf. Okay, so Cure Health, what else are y'all, what markets, who's a good person to, like, who do you want to meet for Cure Health?
So today we met with the CMIO, which is Chief Medical Informatics Officer for a healthcare system here locally. large
Northeast Florida.
Yeah, well, nationwide.
Okay.
But they're, yeah, Florida. So that's really our target is hospital systems, also home health agencies. The problem, and you kind of alluded to it, Eric, the problem with home health agencies, there's no margin. They have been
raked over the coals
for years and years. And there's been a lot of improprieties, if you will, a lot of taking
bad behavior.
Yeah, bad behavior.
Like, taking advantage. Remind me when he says improprieties.
Well.
Yeah, Chuck, I see that he pointed right at Lenny.
Yeah.
What'd you do, man?
I don't know. Hey, you talking about my golf swing, man.
Yeah, that is payback.
It's game on now.
I'm his golf coach, too. Swing coach, so.
For free.
You said his swing sucked.
Yeah. I'm working on it, man.
What kind of a coach is that if it still sucks?
So back to home health, right? And Cure Health, you got large hospital systems. I actually want to go back to insurance, too, which we work
in. Payers,
right?
Yeah. Benefits, you that. Guys, yeah.
And I always say, like, I have a love-hate relationship with that. But let's home health care real quick, too. So how are they reimbursed? You have private pay for non-skilled care. You have Medicare home. It's a complicated world. Do you guys envision that changing in the future? The change of CMS helps. But, like, how can Cure Health bring value to home health companies?
Well, yeah.
I'm talking about, like prospects and clients you want to talk to. We can help you out.
Yeah. So, Lenny, I don't know if you want to touch on this, but I'll certainly touch on it. So, if you have Cure Health with a home health agency, that home health agency, that nurse can, typically they may see 5 or 6 patients a day going out to the home.
8 max.
Yeah, 8 max.
Yeah.
Max.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
where are they at? How you drive? Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of their time is spent reviewing the patient chart.
Oasis.
Oasis. Yeah. Exactly. You know the language. With Cure Health, they can actually see more patients, or the home health agency can bring on more new patients with the same amount of staff, just because they're not going through. Cure Health has the ability to scrape patient files through the EMR system and pretty much put together the last few dates of service, so that nurse knows immediately within a couple of minutes what's going on in that patient's life, and they don't have to spend 30 minutes to 45 minutes reviewing a chart before they go into the patient's house.
What does EMR stand for, gentlemen?
Emergency.
Nope.
We've done this one before.
Electronic.
Monitoring.
Medical.
Record.
We've done this one before.
You were doing so well.
Right? So, by the way, Trey lived in D.C. for a long time. He was like, can we do an episode on politics? And I just throw out terms that you don't know about. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm in.
That's
yeah, really.
All right, that's awesome. That sounds great. What's your same thing?
So I think broadly, it's a workforce extender. And so, like we talked about a little bit earlier, it's allowing you to take a lot of the day to day menial tasks, menial contact points, and operationalize them so that you can do a lot at once. I think where AI is advanced to at this point, it's not, where it's generative. It's not just like you can take your hands off the wheel and let it go and do its thing. You still have to have the human touch points. And so how do we use it as a tool but still have the human people behind it to look at the insights, to be able to provide the care and the clinical follow-up and those kind of things? So what it allows us to do is give the time back to the clinicians to do the things that they want to do, have people work on top of license and point these patients to that appropriate level of care and remove that time that it takes to go to the doctor and get a follow-up and get scheduled. We can hit them right where they need us at proactively.
How much do you think will change in the next 3 years?
Oh, gosh.
AI-wise. That's tough to say. Like, it goes quick.
So healthcare. Did you want to ask?
I was going to say, is that based upon regulations? How fast it can move?
That's another. That's
probably y'all's biggest roadblock, right? In some of these situations with AI,
as
much as you'd think.
You can't really allow it to make clinical decisions right now. I mean, I think if anybody's gone on ChatGPT or tooled around with some of these early iterations, you realize that for as impressive and as much as it can do, it's still kind of dumb.
Yeah,
right? You got to have guardrails there.
But Eric, in response to what you're saying, healthcare, everybody now, not everybody, but most people are familiar with ChatGPT and that kind
LLM, large language models.
Large language models, yes. So healthcare traditionally is 3 to 5 years behind that those general populations. So
that's being kind, by the way. I'd say like 5 to 10.
Yeah,
right.
They've got COVID again. Going back to COVID has accelerated a lot of that, and so they're going. Healthcare systems are going to have to change in the next 3 to 5 years. And AI, I mean, everywhere. I was out at a conference in LA a couple months ago called Vive.
I almost went to that, by the way. How was that?
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. Awesome. I got sidetracked.
Did you really almost go?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it's technology, cutting edge technology. And and that AI was the common
topic.
Theme
yep.
for the whole thing. So, and that's healthcare. So it's going to change. It has to change. Reimbursement's going to have to change to be able to take care of the aging population.
How do you leverage this incredible tool that, again, gets a good rap, a bad rap? I'm going to actually ask another healthy or not healthy. This is for everyone. You might be healthy or not healthy, the movie Terminator 2.
Healthy.
That scared the crap out of me, man. That's
the Terminator first thing I ever series.
Saw artificial on, intelligence. That was a ridiculous question, but like, this is tough to answer. Like, healthy or not healthy, artificial intelligence.
You see, that's a catch 22. If it's used in the right way,
that's
completely
right.
healthy. But there's a lot of bad actors out there,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be used.
I think healthy because it sounds like what these guys are doing is you're just taking current processes and you're making more effective. And
that's right.
freeing up people
you're
for more time.
You're eliminating repetitive tasks.
People are scared of the computers, but they're going to actually help us in the long run. Mm-hmm.
You talk about
it. You're going to help more people because of this stuff.
RN, a physician, a chiropractor, like any insert clinician that does not want to just sit on a computer and chat. I think it's healthy.
Yeah, I think.
But again, Terminator 2 messed my life up.
Well, I think the for me, the line is when it becomes sentient, right? So right now it's AI. It's all kind of steered and controlled to an extent. When that thing hits the tipping point and it's just telling itself what to do, then you got some problems.
That's when we fly to Mars, right?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. I think sweet. In healthcare, it's healthy. I think.
I agree.
In general,
I make jokes.
Yeah.
Like again, so more about Cure Health here. What are you excited for? Like what's working now? What do you see like, hey, this is coming soon that I think will impact large hospital systems?
So one of your healthy or not healthy. So we just rolled out a feature called voice cloning. So Sheila can actually be the voice of the provider, the mother, the husband, the daughter. Talking to the patient instead of, or a nurse mm-hmm. in their own voice instead of Sheila talking.
Yeah.
But so, that, if you look at it,
that's the patient
on the patient
like.
Side.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear my wife's voice.
I want to hear my mom
voice,
talking to me or my wife
doctor's
or
voice.
My daughter.
Could that help in like a dementia type situation?
That's the key right there. Yeah. Hospice
aging
and palliative
home.
Care.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So
patient, right? Again, I always use Grandma Jane, Grandpa Bill. Grandma Jane's at home, dementia age, Alzheimer's, struggling, but like you need someone to talk to them about, hey, you need to take your medication or listen to this song. That's in Grandpa Bill's voice.
That's the use case right there.
Wow. That's cool.
And it is really good.
It is.
It's really good.
Scary.
So you got something?
I was going to say 10 years from now, then you'll be seeing Grandpa or Grandpa Bill and Grandma Jane
Grandpa
talking
Bill.
To you. And
so
then that's
five.
Got it.
Out of Vive, that you bring up a good point, Justin, or Trey, I'm sorry, that there was a software out there that used holograms of that person. I saw a nurse and she was doing the talking. You go around to the side and she's on the camera as a hologram talking to the patient.
Yep. That excites me, but like freaks me out. Go ahead.
Well, could that also be used, like that's doctor to patient, but that could that also be if I'm getting a hand surgery and the surgeon's great, but they need a consultation with another surgeon, can that person essentially hologram in, be seeing the hand and kind of showing like, I would do this and this on the hand?
There's some of that stuff already happening. Yeah. Yeah,
man, I should have paid attention to college, Lenny.
Yeah.
You're talking to a Mike Lee clown. That is wild. That's awesome too.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do some more Cure Health, and then I like free plugs. Who helps? We can talk about who started the business, but who should talk to you guy? Like this is wild, man. Large hospital, like
any
you
hospital.
You can say names specifically. It's like
there, and I think there's so many use cases, right? So we're looking for forward-thinking decision makers that aren't afraid to take a little bit of a risk, right? You know, there's you've got an operational lift just based on having to train your staff, your clinicians. You know, we know it's hard enough to get clinicians to do kind of regular stuff, right, that we need them to do, doing different initiatives. Now we're having them train into a different kind of environment and utilize a different tool. And so we're looking for people who are ready to kind of take that crawl, walk, run approach and be a little ahead of the game in this AI field.
So organizations, probably larger groups, like you're not looking for a 30-person home health company. You're looking
larger home health companies.
Like I'll throw out Nate. I'm not going to get in trouble. Like Mayo, Baptist, Ascension, HCA, like you large some of the ones organizations, right? To, yeah. Florida Blue, United, Cigna, and anyone who's like, but you have to think in advance.
That's right.
Because you're ahead of the bell curve.
Do you guys get government contract money for this kind of software, or is that some government grants and things of that nature?
We've got a contract now that goes into effect here in a few months with
DHA, the Defense Health Agency.
Let's go. DOJ, you said?
DHA.
Defense Health Agency.
Okay. Some behavioral health stuff.
Can you share anything on that or no? Nope.
It's classified. You're going to need clearance.
Got it. Yeah, I'm going to get hit on the way home.
All right.
Nope. I'm going to get poison. Got it.
It was not suicide.
I love life.
Yes. We got a couple minutes here left.
Does it? Question, but like with what you guys are doing, do you guys have to lobby or have to have lobbyists in this particular niche or industry or not really?
We don't.
Okay,
we don't.
Nice.
So you went going back to those regulations or the regulatory potentials. We're high trust certified, which is the highest certification that you can have in healthcare. That comes from Ravi's background in dealing with patient health information or private health information. So we've got the highest certification that there is protecting patients' information. So that's one of the regulatory
that's big
requirements.
Time.
Yeah.
I think what's that require? Like what's the process to get that? And then Lenny, hold that thought.
It's all about security and compliance. So they've got to go. They had to go through a bunch of steps to show that patient information is secure.
You don't submit like your name, date of birth, and you get a certification saying like you got it. Yeah,
right.
No,
that's a big. It's a big certification. You don't get a
certification.
Anyway.
Yes,
that's right.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're good. But to kind of even touch on your, I think in a long term arc, there is probably going to be a need for some lobbying. I think right now we're in that show me phase. Like, if you're wanting to do AI, if you're wanting to do some of these virtual care models, like they're just now carving out some reimbursement opportunities for it, but as we can prove it out through data, establish ROI, prove we're saving the system money, then we can take that back to the regulatory bodies that be and say, and they're going to mandate it, right? They're going to point people to us instead of us having to go make the case. So I think that's the long term.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is there, you talk about the home health care or the app and the system to help. Is there like a veteran mental health side to it too, where you working with veterans who might have problems where maybe those voice prompts can come in and maybe help stop an attack or something that might be happening?
So out at Vive, there was a company out there, probably not quite ready to, we haven't done an integration with them yet, but there is a company that, and it's out there in marketing now, where the software, the AI software, can look at voice intonation and on a call, whether the patient is depressed, whether they're suicidal, they can pick up on that. So we are actually going to be doing an integration with that software, again, going back to hospice, palliative care, and so on, where the patient can talk to Sheila or talk to their mother, whatever it is, and it can be picked up and an alert can be notified immediately if that patient's depressed, suicidal.
There's some problem. Yeah.
Just by tone out, like the tone of the voice.
Well, and I would even imagine if you're maybe from a depression side or even having an episode of something, but a certain person's voice can snap you out of it or calm you down. That
dementia, Alzheimer's,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But even if you're in a hospital room by yourself, going back to COVID, dang it, we're about to run out of time. I hate this, man, because we're getting into some good stuff here.
Yeah.
when COVID's happening, right? You're locked in a room by yourself. You can't come through and talk through a glass. If someone talks to you as your spouse's wife, except my spouse, she'd be like, can you give me a different voice?
Can I not have that?
That's a big deal, right? Alzheimer's dementia is a big deal, but especially as you age, man, I'm blown away. I didn't know this stuff either.
The potential
it's pretty cool.
Incredible.
Dang, dude. So real talk here. Would your wife like to hear your voice or someone else's voice?
She tells me I'm loud all the time. So maybe if it was a volume controlled voice, I think it'd be all right. I tell him, like, I work in radio. I'm supposed to be loud.
That's
so, like,
right.
You can't be mad.
We gotta hear you.
This is a really tough question. We got about a minute and a half left. Whose voice would you want to hear on the other side? That's tough. Oh.
Ooh,
I'll go first.
I'll go first.
My brother passed. It's always my brother. He passed away 9 years ago.
That is a good one.
I might get choked up. Like, I saved, like, if I hear that dude's voice, that's who I want to be my guy.
Yeah. I think Morgan Freeman.
Oh, I mean, that's good.
How good is that?
Whose voice?
Boy, that's a tough one.
That's a hard question.
I mean,
the guy who does the Nat Geo, the British, I don't know his name, but he was like, you know,
in a world.
Well, do I have sleeping problems? Because it might be Jim Nance on a Sunday, you know?
Oh, man. Who you got?
Harry Callis?
Probably my grandma. I think you took it. Like, it would be some family member just to remember him.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a family member or my significant other. I mean, that's somebody.
Is that process a long process to do, or is it just like reading this paragraph?
No, literally, it's a three. I was a test. It was a 3-minute script that you read literally
just like words and stuff that kind of okay.
That's awesome. What's not awesome is none of you guys said my voice.
For real? Yeah, no way.
Just kidding. I'm blown away. I love this stuff.
Is AI being used for golf?
AI for golf?
Yeah, is there any
question.
Be a
obviously, I need more help than you do.
No, you haven't seen me golf. My least favorite part of the show is when we run out of time. So first question, would you all come back?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Good times, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about it.
Do it again.
It's always a pleasure. Lenny Schoenfeld and Dean.
Been called worse.
Did I say it? Wait, how do I say it? Schoenfeld.
Schoenfeld. Yeah, you got
just
it.
Just regular. It's the German thing. And Dean,
you got to
give it a shot, try.
Kind of loogie while you're doing it.
Rotenhaus.
Rotenhaus. Rotenhaus. Kira, again, you guys were awesome. That was entertaining. Some good stuff there, too. My goodness. Appreciate you joining. Hope you come back.
Love it. Absolutely. A lot of fun, man.
That's what the health just happened.